right, good morning, everyone. My name is Julia Jo Elgers, and I'm with the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and we're the association that represents the nearly 2,800 local health departments across the country. Before we begin, I did want to let you know of a change. In the abstract, it talked about how performance standards were used in Latin American countries, but unfortunately, our original speaker cannot attend, but we will be hearing from the Israeli experience today, so I just wanted to let you know of that change, and we, Wamsi's graciously stepped in at the last minute, and I'll allow you to introduce yourself, if you want to come
back. Sure. Hello, everyone. I'm Wamsi Vasireddy. I was asked in the last minute to substitute for the speaker who was supposed to speak about Peru. Israel is nowhere near Peru, but I'll try to bring some, and I have no idea about the Peruvian healthcare system, but this presentation is about performance standards and how they can be used to strengthen public health systems. And I will be talking about our work in Israel and our next steps, which are taking these performance standards to Europe. So we'll be interested.
And for those of you who were particularly interested in the Latin American experience, I do think some of the ways that the group that was in charge of using the performance standards in Israel, some of that translation and application really does apply in other countries who have looked at the performance standards and considered using them in their country and in their context. So what we'll be doing today is kind of giving an overview of the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, which is a U.S.-based initiative supported by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. Bob is going to talk about his experience in Israel. We welcome questions throughout. This is a small group, so if you do have a question, please feel free to ask it when it comes to mind. We're flexible for that. Hello, welcome. And then also to let you know, if you are new to the performance standards, we do have some brochures in the back. You'll see them. They're yellow, and there's some information, and a lot of the information is available on the website. So how to connect to the website is all listed out in the brochures for you. So the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, as I mentioned, is supported by the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, but it's really a partnership effort, and I'll talk about some of the partners that are involved. But the overall vision and the goals of the program are really to, one, provide performance standards for public health systems, and we'll talk about how we define public health systems, and then encouraging the use of performance standards to improve, as you see in point three, quality improvement or the performance improvement, improving the performance of public health systems and practice. It also, the program is dedicated to engaging and leveraging partnerships at all levels of government, from local, state, at the federal level, and you'll see that represented in the national partnership that supports this initiative. And this concept of partnership is really embedded in the assessment and measurement of how well a system performs and works together. And then finally, strengthening the science base for public health practice improvement. There's a lot of data that is generated from this program as a result of doing assessments in different communities, and so there's an aggregated data set that's available for researchers. And it serves also as a way of getting a baseline of system performance to then kind of see improvement over time. So this idea of measurement, providing data for research and a science base for understanding local public health or public health systems and how they function. There are three different types of assessments that are part of this initiative. There is a state public health system assessment, a local public health system assessment, and a governance assessment. And here it says a local public health governance assessment, but we've also seen state boards of health use the instrument. So when we think of the state public health system, at the core, we typically think of the state health department and the partners that they typically work with at the state level, whether it be other state governmental agencies, state foundations focused on a particular state, other state organizations dedicated to ensuring the public's health. When we think about the local public health system, we're thinking about the health department at the core of that system, but also thinking about the partners that all contribute to ensuring the public's health. And we have some diagrams that depict this concept. And you'll hear me slip a lot saying local public health system when I mean public health system in general, only because I'm biased and I come from the association that represents the local health department. So I will put that out there. I probably will slip. And then the governance tool, which is primarily used by boards of health. And we're seeing the governance tool is really instrumental in helping boards of health understand their role that they play in a public health system as a governing body. So the national partners involved supporting this initiative really reflect those who would be involved in initiating and facilitating this assessment. So CDC, of course, provides the overall coordination, the financial support for this initiative. ASTO represents the state and territorial health officials, so they provide a lot of support at the state level. NACHO, in the same way, the local instrument. And NACHO also supports the use of a program called Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, which is an overarching performance improvement process that the National Public Health Performance Standards Assessment is embedded in. So not just thinking about assessment for assessment's sake, but understanding assessment is important as part of articulating areas for improvement and implementing improvement. And so MAP provides an overarching framework for using that data. And then NALBO is the association that represents local boards of health, and they support the governance instrument. APHA, we're at their conference, and they've been key in marketing and promoting the national program. The Public Health Foundation provides support in the data collection. When we talked about that science base, they're the keeper of the data and the data system and help communities interpret their results. They provide a report to them. And then the National Network of Public Health Institutes, they represent public health institutes across the country who often play key roles in supporting and facilitating the use of all three instruments, and they also provide technical assistance and help put together an annual training that trains people on how to use the instrument for performance improvement. So the concept of partnerships is really embedded in the instruments themselves, but also in the national partnership that supports the use of these instruments. The program began in 1998, a lot in a response to those IOM reports that kind of made it a comment about public health being in a disarray and the need for assessments and thinking about the core functions of public health. And so the performance standards program assessments really are kind of a response to some of the concerns that were raised in those reports and kind of what we were seeing in the field and in terms of how to really raise the bar in performance. The first version of the instruments were released in 2002. Since then, we've had a version 2, and we're currently working on a version 3. They're continually updated to really reflect what's happening in practice. We'll talk about how these performance standards are optimal standards, and so there's a conscientious effort to ensure that they really do reflect an optimal level of practice. And the creation of these instruments and the update and the support of them are heavily informed by practitioners in the field. And so we, all the national associations, convene practitioners with expertise on the ground, and they help inform the content in these instruments to really ensure that they're relevant and really reflecting what's happening in practice. There are four concepts applied in the performance standards. The first one, which we'll kind of talk about a lot weaving through this session and as it's described in the abstract, is this concept that it's based in the 10 essential public health services. The second concept being that we're really thinking about the overall public health system, so not one agency, but this idea of a collective group of entities responsible for ensuring the public's health. The third piece being the focus on optimal level of performance as opposed to minimum standards or kind of standards that need to be met for some kind of certification or recognition. We're really saying let's think about what an optimal level of practice is in an effort to identify where we can improve. And then finally, leading to the concept of supporting a quality improvement. Sometimes people talk about a little bit broader as performance improvement. So we don't do assessments just to collect data, but to really use that data to inform improvement in practice and improvement in systems. So the idea of the essential services, there are 10 of them that we'll look at, and they're really providing the foundation for any public health activity. And what we mean by that is, when we think about kind of maybe traditional public health services, we may think of WIC, diabetes, different types of activities, programs, categorical programs. And the idea behind the essential services is that all 10 really should be underlining any type of categorical area. So for instance, if you have a diabetes program, you should be collecting data associated with diabetes, you should be doing health education related to diabetes, doing research. And so when we look at the essential services, you'll see that the concepts that those 10 essential services represent really underlie any kind of public health activity. As you saw with the three instruments, we're really looking at public health at both the state and local level, and recognizing that the function at the state may look a little bit different than at the local level, and the function of boards of health are a little bit different, hence the reason why we have three different types of instruments. And then you'll see that the concept of the essential service really structures the actual instruments. And so if you look at the instrument itself, you'll see that it's divided into 10 chapters representing the 10 essential services. And we'll talk a little bit about that some more. But the idea of the essential public health services were created in 1994, and it was kind of a working definition. If we think about the three core functions of public health, assessment, assurance, policy development. Well, really, can we dig a little bit deeper to understand what that means and have a working definition of those concepts? And so a group was convened, a lot of the partners that you saw that support this program, as well as practitioners in the field, came up and really articulated and defined the essential public health services. And so here you'll see the 10 listed here. I don't know, have you all memorized all 10? Do you know them by heart? I know Liza has. I finally have memorized all of them. But here you can see kind of the breadth of what we're talking about. You know, the first two essential services, monitoring health status, diagnosing health problems, is a very traditional public health function. Informing, educating, empowering, mobilizing communities. 5 and 6 focus on policy, plans, enforcing laws and regulations. 7, thinking about linking people to services. 8, focusing on workforce. 9, evaluation. And 10, research. And so these concepts really, underlie any public health activity. And so you'll see here the 10 essential services, again, represented in this wheel, and their association with the three core functions that are represented on the outside of the circle. So this concept of the system, we talk about this as a system assessment. So when we define a public health system, we're thinking about all the public, private, voluntary entities that contribute to the public's health. Another way to think about it is all those who may provide services that help ensure the public's health, but also think about it in terms of the recipients of those services. So there may be different organizations that represent patient interests. They would be part of the local public health system. There are neighborhood associations. There are other kind of grassroots groups that are really thinking about how to make communities, states, a better place to live, to be healthy citizens. And so all those different types of people, not just your traditional public health service providers, are really part of this concept of a public health system. And so we're thinking about them as a network, as you'll see here. This is kind of an idealized a picture of the concept of a public health system. Some people call this the jelly bean diagram, the Easter egg, which maybe not everyone likes that reference. But the idea here is that these different entities are related to each other, and while this may be kind of a concept, this is what we're trying to get towards, this notion that everyone is interconnected and integrated with each other. And there's actually, kind of as an aside, there's a social networking tool that's out there called Partner that some communities have used to really create their own jelly bean diagram of their system. So it's a social network analysis tool that has different partners answer a series of questions about their relationships with other entities in the system, and it actually creates a diagram that represents the strengths of those relationships and gives you really kind of a comprehensive picture of what that network looks like, and really helps measure this notion of an integrated system of partnerships. And so part of the role, the focus of the instrument is to think about those 10 essential public health services, think about all the entities that are involved in ensuring them. And so, of course, that would mean that they would all be involved in thinking about the essential services and really determining how well the system overall collectively delivers those essential services. So we talked about essential services, this idea of the system, and the third concept is this idea of an optimal level of performance. We're really thinking about the gold standards. In the gold standard of performance, in the instrument, you'll see what we call model standards, and they're a narrative of what a system would look like if it was really performing at an optimal level. And the idea here is not to have all systems rank 100% saying, yes, we are perfect. That's not the purpose and the goal of the initiative. But really to say, this is the ideal, where are we? And the gap between where our current performance is and this notion of an ideal performance is really the opportunity for improvement. And so that is why this concept underlines the program. And then it also, in doing completing the assessments and measuring according to this level of optimal performance, communities and states are able to benchmark or create baseline measurement of their existing performance, knowing that there's opportunities to improve. And so we'll see communities do the use the three instruments multiple times to actually measure the improvement over time. Which leads us to the fourth concept of stimulating quality improvement. So after communities complete the assessment, they get a report that essentially summarizes their level of performance by essential services, and it actually digs down a little bit deeper. There are some details and anywhere from 2 to 4 model standards that really underlie the essential service. And so the report will tease out where strengths and weaknesses are in a system in terms of performance. And then the National Public Health Performance Standards Program supports communities and states using that data to then help inform and structure a quality improvement or a performance improvement process. And so here you'll see on this slide a quality improvement plan, do, study, act cycle. And there's a lot of tools and techniques involved in quality improvement that can be used to take the assessment data and move it into a quality improvement process. I mentioned the MAP process. That's kind of an overarching framework that helps local communities use the assessment data for community health improvement. So those are the four concepts. And to kind of sum up this idea of the essential services, that's really kind of the skeleton for which we think about the system, for which we think about an optimal level of performance, and for which we start thinking about and prioritizing how we're going to improve the system and in what areas are we going to improve them. When we look at use in the field, we'll see the instrument used in different ways. We try to encourage states to complete the state instrument and also support locals using the local instrument, and it gives a very good comprehensive picture of what's happening in an individual state. Locals can learn from each other about what their system performance looks like, and the state can kind of get a collective comprehensive picture of what's happening across their jurisdictions. But we'll also see in communities and in states kind of individual use. Maybe the state health department will use it to inform their health improvement plan. And then in some states where there's not a coordinated approach, we'll see locals using the instrument either as a part of a MAP process or a part of performance or quality improvement. Here you'll see some examples for reasons why communities pick up the instruments, kind of this interest in improvement planning. Earlier on in the program, we saw a lot of interest around bioterrorism, emergency response, kind of thinking about what the existing system capacity is. Again, the MAP process, interest in accountability, so getting that baseline information, thinking about areas for improvement, kind of figuring out who's going to be responsible and assigning accountability for those areas of improvement. More and more, we're seeing interest in the performance standards as it relates to accreditation preparation. I don't know, are any of you familiar with the accreditation of health departments? Okay, so that's going to be rolling out in the near future. I see some people may not be as well-versed, but essentially it'll be a voluntary program where local and state and tribal health departments can apply for accreditation. And while accreditation really focuses in on the agency and the agency performance, and accreditation is based on the essential services, thinking about how the overall system performs, knowing that the health department is the backbone of that system, helps prepare and really get a good understanding of where the health department is relative to that network that, you know, they're not mutually exclusive, but let's help understand the overall system performance, let's hone in on what the role of the health department is in that system, and then that is a nice foundation for preparing for accreditation, which really focuses in on specific roles and responsibilities of that health department. We talked a lot about these already, this idea of a baseline measurement of performance. One of the other benefits of these instruments is that it is nationally recognized. People see it as a branded, valid instrument, and we'll look at some maps to see how widespread use is across the country. And that what we're hearing from the field and through evaluation is that the instruments as part of this program really are recognized as the best tool and, in fact, the only tool for assessing system performance and effectiveness. So here, I won't go through this really in depth, but you can kind of see a visual picture of the use across the country. And the colored states here represent states that have used the state performance standards instrument. Here you'll see the amount of local use. The variation of color represents the number of locals within each state that are using the assessment. So you'll see quite a bit of variability, and in the dark significant use where you're seeing 67% or greater of the health departments using the instrument, this is where you're seeing a lot of statewide coordinated approach where the state health department or a state association will really take the initiative to say this is something important for all of us to do. And so you're seeing in states like Florida, New York, and New Jersey, New Mexico, Colorado, that there's this coordinated approach throughout the state. And then here you'll see governance use, and the variability is somewhat attributed to the fact that some states just don't have boards of health, and that governance responsibility may fall with another entity. But here you'll see, again, some variation in use, and this idea of significant, moderate, limited use is based on the number of local boards of health in a given state. A couple of years ago, we did an evaluation to see the benefits and the outcomes achieved as a result of using this instrument. So these are survey results from users, communities and states that have used the instrument. And so you'll see here, and this aligns with those four concepts, aligns with the overall program vision and goals, that communities are seeing their system's strength, they're understanding what their strengths and weaknesses are of the system. They have a better understanding of the interconnectedness of public health, so really understanding what it means to function as a system. They're able to create improvement plans, so with accreditation, that's actually one of the prerequisites and a standard that health departments will have to make, so using this data from this assessment to inform health improvement plans. Better understanding of health issues, you're seeing stronger collaboration, and that idea of accountability, more tangible commitments from system partners, and that they're involved in performance improvement, not just in the completion of the assessment. And then for the locals, we're seeing them recognize the value of using the instrument in a greater, wider community health improvement process like MAP. And then in addition to those outcomes and an improved understanding of what the system is doing and the strengths and weaknesses of systems, we're also seeing other benefits in the form of leveraging partners, the staff of partners, towards addressing priorities, pooling resources, particularly in this type of economy. The use of this instrument has been very instrumental in identifying duplications within a system, areas for improving efficiency, areas for improving effectiveness, knowing that we're not independent, mutually exclusive entities, but we're really working together in partnership, more coordinated decision making, and then the data that comes out of this and the health improvement plans that are informed by this assessment data helps agencies and partners leverage or be more successful grant applicants. So we're seeing dollars following the use of this instrument and kind of a understanding of where those priorities are and the documentation that there was really partners involved in the effort. And then finally, just to touch on the National Public Health Performance Standards doesn't exist in isolation, that it really is connected to major public health initiatives like Healthy People and soon to be Healthy People 2020. Again, I mentioned those Institute of Medicine reports, which really kind of served a foundation for the more modern developments in public health practice. We're seeing states really identify this program as an important piece in public health practice, and so they're writing it into their legislation. And then you're seeing other types of programs. Originally, the Turning Point Performance Management Collaborative, I mentioned that many times. We had a program called the Operational Definition of Local Health Department, which provides some foundational information for accreditation. So again, the program really does exist in collaboration and in conjunction with these other really important public health initiatives.